We ask, O Lord, that the Holy Spirit will be in attendance this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, make our hearts fertile ground for your word. And may we receive the word with faith this morning, so that our soul may be saved. Thank you, Father. Lord, you know the reason why we are going to share what we have to share this morning. Because the Bible says, your word shall not return unto you void without accomplishing the purpose for which you have sent them. Let your word accomplish its purpose in our lives today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Amen. We are still continuing on our series, The Divine Commission. Today we are looking at the erection of the tabernacle. The erection of the tabernacle. We've looked at how the tabernacle has been built. You know, the different parts, how even the priest's robe, who the priests that are supposed to minister there, the design of the robes, how everything was put together. We have looked at that. And basically, you remember the main theme has been that of obedience. It's not just obedience, but complete obedience to the Lord. We say that is the main thing, that God wants us to do things as he has instructed. Because some of us may be asking, you say, how do I know that God is speaking to me? How then do I know that I should do what he says I should do? How do I check that I've done what he asked me to do? One of the ways we will know is that, like we said, the testaments, which are the wills of God, is written here in the Bible. So, when you do things and it's in conformity with the Bible, then you know you are living in obedience to him. You are doing what he asked you to do. So, we are going to look at the erection of the tabernacle. So, everything has been built and coupled together. Now, they needed to put the tabernacle on its feet to stand where it needed to be. So we are going to, and our memory verse is taken from Exodus chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Exodus 40, verses 1 and 2. Can we read together? It's in the bulletin. Exodus 40, 1 and 2. Let's go. Exodus 40, 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shall thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Again, Exodus chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shall thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Praise the Lord. Open your Bible to Exodus chapter 40. That's where we're going to read from verse 1 to 38. I need two fast readers to read it. Two fast readers to read it. Praise the Lord. Thank you. It's a very long one, you know. We are going to take a few things. We are going to look at a few things. I mean, you can see that it's similar to some of the things we've read from verse 34 or from verse 30 or from chapter 30 of Exodus. Basically, we see the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses carrying out the instruction from God. And one of the statements that was often repeated was, and Moses did as the Lord commanded him to do. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him to do. We'll look at that. Even though the Bible kept on saying, Moses did as the Lord commanded him to do. Was Moses the one that did it physically? He wasn't the one that did it. The people that followed him did as he instructed them. He instructed them as he heard from the Lord. Yet, the Bible said, and Moses did as the Lord commanded him to do. I've told us, as leaders, we have to hear correctly. Pass across the right instruction. And if we happen to be in a place that God is asking us to do something, we have to do it the way we have been asked to do it. But one of the things that I want to talk about this morning is the issue of time. Time and divine commission. One thing that is very crucial here is that God was very specific. If you read verse 1 and 2 that we read, which is our memory verse, and you then go to verse 17, it says, in verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Go to verse 17. It says, and it came to pass, in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. So, the timing was crucial. God gave specific instruction to Moses as to when this thing had to be in place. And Moses made sure that that thing happened as at, I mean, and the people who carried out the instruction made sure that it happened as at when due. There is a tendency amongst us Christians to put the things of God, things that have to do with God, last. It's only when we can get to it. It has to be the last thing. It has to be of lower priority. Our obedience may not be counted as complete by God if the timing is wrong. Because he has a reason for telling us that this is the time I want you to do it. For example, if God wakes, if God says tonight, I want you to pray tonight. And God gives you a burden for somebody and says tonight, pray for this brother. And you decide that you are not going to pray tonight. Look, I'm too tired. I'm going to pray tomorrow morning. And then 2 days later, you heard in the news that about that time you were supposed to be praying. He was in the plane and the plane had just dropped from the sky. And the guy died. What will you say? So God has reason for giving us specific instructions. So if he says time, time, think this should be done, we need to do it at that time. There's another thing about timing and the things of God is that the things of God needs to be treated with urgency. The things of God are not things that we can just put on the back burner and make it secondary. Because the things of God has to do with life. It's not just the physical life, for this as well as the soul. Look, the reason the enemy troubles us is not I keep telling people, it's not because of our cars. It's not because of our houses. It's not because of our shoes. It's not because of our clothes. There's something more important than that. It's because of men's souls. That's the bottom line. All the other things are avenue for reaching us, to destabilize us. He knows if he kills somebody's child, if he steals somebody's wealth, if he does this, you know, that their mind will not be focused. Those are just instruments in his hands to get to where he wants to get to. So timing becomes very important to God. So, like I said, our obedience may not be complete except we are conscious of time. If we are given the things of God and we don't know how to do it, we can ask, tell the pastor, I don't have this experience. Is there any other person in the church who can guide me through? You don't want to say no, but if there's someone else who can guide you or show you, or somebody who has done it before, let them show you how to do it. Rather than keeping it and saying, look, because I don't know, that's why I've not done it. If you don't know, let us know. Nobody knows everything. We are all learning. If we are busy and we are saying, look, we cannot do it, let us also know. If it needs to be assigned to someone else, or if it can wait so that there's, you know, so that we don't unnecessarily delay it. So timing is very, very what? Very important to God. Don't delay what you can do today till tomorrow, particularly the things of God. If Elisha had missed his time, he would not have known when Elijah was going to be taken to heaven. You remember, as he was going with his master, anytime he got to the station of the sons of the prophet, they tried to discourage him. He said, do you know that your master is going to be taken tonight? They will say things to him. They don't worry. Stay here. And you say, look. Even his master tried to discourage him. He said, look, you don't have to go with me. He said, look, wherever you go, I will go with you. And he followed. Because timing was very crucial. Because the master had said to him, okay, you want the anointing upon my life? He said, yeah. Okay. It all depends on whether you know when God is going to take me away or not. God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's look at this. I will read from here. I say, after a considerable painstaking work, Moses and the children of Israel completed the construction of the tabernacle and its furnishing. Then, at God's command, they set up the tabernacle on the first day of the first month, that is month Abib in the Jewish calendar, in the second year of Israel's exodus from Egypt. This implies that the tabernacle was reared up on a new year day. We remember that in the time of Noah, the waters of God's flood of judgment were dried off from the earth on a new year day. Genesis 8:13. Also in the time of Hezekiah, they began to sanctify the temple on New Year Day. 2 Chronicles 29:17. What a significant way to start a new year. Rearing up the tabernacle was symbolic of entering into a closer and deeper relationship with God. It signifies a new beginning with God because for the first time, the Israelites of the Exodus began a new year in liberty rather than in captivity. We should also begin every new year with renewal of our dedication and commitment to God. The other thing that I want to talk about is order. We talked about timing. The next thing I want to talk about is order. You will notice that Moses did not go around scampering, confused as to where certain things needed to be. They already knew where the vessels were going to be. They knew where the Ark of Covenant was going to be. They knew where the poles were going to be. They knew, you know, all the furnishing within the tabernacle. They already knew the positions. One, because God had instructed him. And secondly, because Moses had instructed the people. And the people realized that there was going to be order. So, God needed to make a separation. He created the Holy of Holies, he then the Holies, and then from outside the temple. So, there were certain things that are meant to be there. God was very methodical. God is not the God of confusion. God puts and set things in order. Even in his church today, he still set things in order. Is it not Paul when he writes, he said, and now the rest will I set in order when I come. You know, you always say, the rest will I set in order when I come. So there is order. God is not a God of chaos. I keep telling us, the first miracle that God did was to bring order into the world. Because the Bible said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. He said the earth was void. In fact, those of us who are from Yoruba land, the word void then was juju. In other words, there was confusion. Confusion reigned over the earth until God started to set things in order. Started putting order. Started putting order. A life where there is no order will be a life of what? Of confusion. And I'm telling you, one of the things that can bring order to somebody's life is the word of God. Many people are confused in the world today because they have no yardstick. In fact, people will tell you, how do you know that is right? Everything as far as the world is concerned is relative. They say there's no truth. They say truth is in the eye of the beholder. They said the truth to you is different from the truth to me. That is what the world is teaching us. And so, there is no order. There is no boundary. There is nothing that you can say don't do. Or don't, you know, as long as it feels good by you, then do it. That is what we are being taught every day. But God is a God of order. If God wants Adam and Steve to marry, and Deborah and Esther to be husband and wife, he would simply have created all of us of the same sex. He would not have created one male and the other one female. If that was the original intention of God. But he wanted order in it. He didn't just say, look, all of you come out as Joblo. All of you come out as Esther. All of you come out as Deborah. All of you come out. No, he didn't do that. He separated things that needed to be separated. But when it appeals to us, we don't think that kind of order is good enough. It's a lie of the enemy. It's a lie of the devil. In fact, Romans actually says it's a delusion. He said he struck them with a delusion. So man burns for man. Woman burns for woman. God is a God of order. He would have simply made all of us of the same sex. Or rather, he would simply have made all of us hermaphrodites. So we just fertilize yourself and have babies and, you know. But God knew what he was doing. He simply could have done that as well. But we look at it and we say what God has created is not good enough for us. When the Bible himself actually said, after God finished creating, what did he say? He said, God looked at what he has created and said, it is good. It is what? It is good. We will say, it is not good enough for us. What is good enough for God? So we've talked about two things. First one, timing. So when God gives us something to do, the time is very important. It's not for back burners. Secondly, order. God gives specific instructions. This has to be here. That has to be here. This has to be here. That has to be here. It will not be complete obedience if we don't do it like he has said. If he asks you to put the Holy of Holies in the front of the tabernacle and you put the Holy of Holies at the back, you have not done what? You have not obeyed him. You may think that you have tried, because we often measure. You see, the Bible says, it says, for they measure themselves by themselves are not wise but fools. Paul was saying that. He said, I dare not count myself among the number. For they measure themselves by themselves. Oftentimes we measure ourselves by the standard of other people or by our own standard. And we say to, oh, yes. After all, I did too. What about brother so and so who didn't even do at all? But that's not the measure of God for us. The measure of God is the measure of our obedience to the instruction he gave us. So he's not going to judge you based on what brother so-and-so didn't do or did not do or did. He's going to measure you based on what you did according to the instruction that he gave you. So timing and order is very, very important. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 8 verse 10. Leviticus 8 verse 10. So we read a bit of the Bible. It says, and Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated it. What we are presenting to God must be what? Must be holy. I keep telling us, if we are giving offering, it must be given in faith. If we are doing things, it must be done in faith. Everything that we do before him has to be done, what? In faith. So, when Moses has done all this, he anointed it. He drew down the presence of God. You, as many of us know, the anointing signifies the presence of the Holy Spirit. So he did that. So the Holy Spirit could rest there. So the Holy Spirit could do what? Could rest there. Let's look at Isaiah 61 verse 1. So whatever we are presenting to God must be something that the Holy Spirit will be able to rest upon. Isaiah 61 verse 1. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can remember who read this passage? Jesus. Amen. Do you know many people have lived before him and they never realized what that passage meant until he read it? He said the Spirit of God was upon him. So in other words, before Jesus could do what he did, just in the same way that the tabernacle was anointed, the Spirit of God had to rest upon him. The Spirit of God has to rest upon you and I before we can be effective. Acts 10:38. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with what? And with power. Who went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we need the residence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not be able to be resident except there is order. Except we do things according to the instruction that God has given us. He will not be resident there. The Holy Spirit will be resident in your life in Jesus' name. He will be resident in your home in Jesus' name. Because if there is no order in our homes, it becomes difficult even for the Holy Spirit to rest there. I went out with a couple not long ago. And I was listening to the wife, and the wife was saying, I wanted to go out and do this, but I remember that my husband said, I have to rest, I mustn't go, you know. I really wanted to go, but because my husband said I shouldn't go, so I decided not to go. And I was just laughing within me. So, and I was sharing with my wife later, that is order. It's submission. It's not because the woman may be even more intelligent than the husband. She may be stronger. She may be everything. But he just said, my husband said he didn't want me to go out doing this. At this time, that is order. God will bring order to our lives in Jesus' name. He said, let me read the second to the last paragraph on this first side of where we are reading. He said, after coupling the different parts of the tabernacle, Moses had to place the furniture in their respective position. The first item to be placed in the sanctuary was the Ark of Covenant and its mercy seat, which symbolized the presence of God in the tabernacle. The Ark was placed in the Holy of Holies, as it was the only item of furniture there. A veil was used to demarcate the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Now, he said, the Ark was put in the Holy of Holies, and it was the only thing there. It represented the presence of God. In other words, the position where we put God, nothing else should occupy the same pedestal as God in our lives. Nothing else should compete with God for his position in our lives. Look, I'm sure many of us, when we read these parts of the Bible, we just think it's story. We go through it. Hebrews, I like the word, the book of Hebrews. It tells us that it symbolizes the things to come. So everything is put there. So let's read with an eye of faith. Everything is put there as an example of what our life should be. Let me quickly read part of the observation. He said, I'm going to the second part after question two. He said, two, We also observe God's priority, that second paragraph there, an emphasis. The furnishing of the tabernacle began from within and progressed outward. Can we listen to this? The furnishing of the tabernacle began from where? From within, and then it moved outward. True piety follows the same pattern. God wants, as a matter of priority, our inner man to be entirely pure and furnished with his presence and power. In other words, it is not just what people see outside. First of all, it has to be right with God inside. If you know it's not right with God inside, everything outside is a waste of time. That is what we are learning this morning. So the furnishing was from within and then outward. Not from outward, inward. Some people will say, oh, when you want to bring Christ, people to Christ, whatever means you can use, just tell them about prosperity. Just tell them about this thing. They are very important, please. Don't misunderstand me. But the problem that I find there is this. When the people come and they don't find things exactly the same way you have said it, they run away. But if the reason they have come to Christ, first of all, is Jesus and their soul and the fear that they need to go to heaven, they will stay. Even when things seem not to be working out as well. I'll give you another example. Sometimes we go to some churches because of the name of the person concerned. And you know what happened? The day we heard that the man fell, the day we find out that the guy had been living in adultery, our world is shattered. So it can happen to so-and-so. My God. Because we have built our distance around him rather than Jesus himself that we ought to have known. So the building has to be from where? From inside. And then go outward. Because every other one that we build different from that is bound to fail. I think we'll leave it at this point. Any questions? Contribution. I'm sure it's exciting. There should be something we want to say. I know. Just 2 minutes. It's so exciting. I don't know if you're as excited as I am. There has to be something we want to say to it.
I wanted to share a story along these lines. When I ran a meeting. And this is about, well, many years ago, I ran a meeting, and it's the only time it's ever happened, but I saw the Holy Spirit in this meeting, and he was touching people, and it was just the most amazing thing, and he began to reach out and touch people, and touch different people, and it was a home group meeting, and after a while, he was touching all but one person, and so I got up, and I said, the Holy Spirit's here, he's ministering to everyone except one person. Maybe just check your heart and make sure things are right. And it was the worst thing I've ever done. And at that point, everyone in the meeting stopped focusing on God and went, is that me? Am I wrong? Is something? And the Holy Spirit turned and looked at me. And it was just the most incredible experience in my life. There was no scowl, there was no anger, but I dropped to my knees right then. I just said, what have I done? What have I done? And I went and I talked to a pastor about this, and God led me to a scripture because I thought I was going crazy. But it just made me realize in every single meeting, the Holy Spirit is there with an agenda, and I can work against it. So I have to find out what his order is, or else it can break it. So, boy, that was such a good thing.
From experience, we are still talking about divine commission. We looked at timing. When God gives instruction, how important is the timing? It's not to be made the second this thing, you know. We are talking about order. We talked about sanctification. You know, we talked about many things here. So it's so important. We talked about the cleaning from inward to outward. Any other person?
I just praise the Lord. I just want to share this experience with me when I was in my country over there. That when the Lord give any commission or give you to do something, you have to do it urgently, because it has a great repercussion if you refuse to do it at that moment. So I was I have the opportunity of leading a house fellowship around my area. So we have many women there because the fellowship contains the women. So around me there in the house fellowship was in my house. So I was the one leading it with. So in around there, before the fellowship we start, I will go around all the houses. I will go and encourage the women to try to attend the fellowship, though not the member of my church, but at least the neighborhood. So not knowing that this woman, her time was very short in the earth, I didn't know, but I was just led to the woman, to the woman there in the house. So I used to go there to call the woman to come to the fellowship, and the woman would be giving excuses. Each time I go there, at times she will come, because I was so persistent, I would continue going there, troubling the woman to come. At times, anytime that she's doing anything in the house that maybe she wants to use it as an excuse of not attending the fellowship, I'll try to help her to do it, maybe watching or doing whatever. So this woman was pregnant. At times she will come, at times she will give excuses, but not, she wasn't serious at all. She will be giving excuses each time. So later, I just heard that the woman died. I was very shocked, but I look at it that I didn't mean that when the Lord spoke to me to go to this woman and be preaching to the woman, encouraging the woman, visiting the woman, preaching the word of God to the woman, and I refused. I was given time because even myself, I have a tight schedule, my place of work and others. But when it comes to any spiritual work, in fact, I used to take it as more priority. Just like the one I shared last week with my friend in the hospital. No, I was those periods were very tight for me. At times, God will just tell me that, go and visit. I will quickly drop whatever I'm doing. I'll go to the shop. I'll buy many things. I'll go to the hospital. To the extent that even up to now, this my friend, she will be calling me that, Bola, I've not seen you for some time. Hope there is no problem. Maybe she just saw me about 2 days ago. She loved me coming nearer now. Just as I told you that I shared the testimony that she always showed me whatever I share the word of God, she doesn't want to before she got sick. But now she always wants me to come around her, share the word of God, pray with her. She has been very happy. So when the Lord gives us any task to do, especially spiritual something, or you involve in the work in the church, is a very great task. And you should count yourself as privileged to be in that place, because there are others that can do the work. If you refuse to do it, God is able to even raise a stone to do it. But your own prayer should be that God should not raise a stone to replace me. So God is very happy and has the light to carry out his text urgently whenever he gives us anything to do. And there's a lot of blessing on it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So 30 seconds, Jack. 30 seconds. And it's ticking. Please. Maybe because I've been brought up, I started attending Classical Redeem. When I say classical, these were plays where, you know, my wife, people were not allowed to wear earrings and so on. So I take it, you know, that was the way we when I see the things of God, people who have worked with me will tell you, if I say, it's a thing of God, if I say, please, can we do this? And you say, you don't have time, I will do it. I will scrub the floor. I will clean the toilet. It's not because I'm not saying I'm more righteous than anybody. I just see that this is, you know, that as long as I have breath within me, I will do, you know, what I see God. I do not see my salvation as based on my service. No, it's not based on my service. It's based on faith. But you cannot prove your faith without works. After you have believed, there has to be work to follow. So it's very crucial as children of God. It's very crucial. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Okay. So our brother wants to share something.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Well, I just want us to quickly look briefly at the second to the last paragraph of this pamphlet, which is talking about a divine pattern. Now, as Christians, I just want us to view it from our mind that every actions, every reactions, everything that we do doesn't really conform to the defined pattern of God. Because at times, our behaviors in our working places, our behaviors in our offices, our behaviors in everywhere we are, probably preventure wherever you might find yourself, does it conform to the divine principles of God or to the divine pattern of God? Because that's the reason why, because you can see that Moses, after he has set up the tabernacle, after finishing the construction of the different parts, Moses inspected the work and ascertained that everything conformed to the divine pattern. But he did not presume to assemble the tabernacle until God told him to do so. And we must learn to wait for God's directive and guidance in every area of our lives, be it in great or in small matters. And how do we recognize these great and small matters, or the gentle way that God speaks to us? It depends, because God will only speak to you in a gentle manner, and it's led for you to realize and also find out and really understand what God is talking about and what God is speaking to you. But he speaks in a gentle and lowly voice. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Please, I will encourage us to actually read this again, because it touches on many things. It touches on the church. It touches on many, many things. Please read it. Take time to read it. We took it from the website of the Deeper Life Bible Church ministry. Okay? So it wasn't written by me. So please read it. It talks about many things, you know. And I believe it has relevance even for our church today. Let's read it. It's very important. This thing that I preach is not for me. It's for our soul. It's for all of us, because we are all running the same race, you and I. I'm in the same boat as you. And God will see us through in Jesus' name. Can we just rise up and pray? Just one prayer point this morning. Just ask that God will guide you to erect the tabernacle of God according to divine order. You are the tabernacle of God. Ask that God will help you to erect the tabernacle of God according to divine order. Pray to the Lord this morning. You are the tabernacle of God. The Spirit of the living God wants to dwell within you. He wants to reside in you. In you is the Holy of Holies. The Spirit of God wants to be there. Ask that God will help you to erect the tabernacle of God according to divine order, according to divine prescription, according to the divine directive. Ask God to help you. Lord, help me to erect the tabernacle of my soul, the tabernacle of my life, the tabernacle for you, O Lord, according to divine prescription, according to divine order, in the mighty name of Jesus, so that on that day I will be acceptable unto you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.